G'day golfers. Ever found yourself redirecting blame and making excuses after having an absolute shocker on a golf course? I know that I have. Range was closed, I was a little cold, didn't warm up, I hit it in those three old divots. Then we have the podcast for you. We focus on how to fundamentally own your swing. Strike it pure and consistently shoot in the 70s. Be it if you're a weekend hack, retired and playing daily, a school phenom, or a tour professional. We present and discuss facts and physics pertaining to golf, trying to keep our ego and opinion at bay. We dispel myths such as keep your head down, bend your knees, or my all-time favorite, game improvement irons. So stop drinking that mythical Kool-Aid and have a sip of ours. I think you'll find it both inspiring and refreshing. I'm Scott Young, founder of Swing, PGA professional and ex-tour player. And together with physical therapist, Dr. Sean Joyce, welcome to Pivot the Path.
G'day golfers and good morning, SJ.
Good everybody.
How are you, sir?
Doing well. Waking up, we're getting there this morning.
Yeah, we're getting there a little early this morning. Early. I watched the NCAA finals last night. I'm like, got to go to bed. And then I'm like, yeah, wow, this is a good game.
That old give and take.
A little bit of give and take. So shout out to UConn because it's only, what's it from us? 20 minutes up the road. So yeah. Shout out to UConn for winning the NCAAs.
Yeah, pretty sweet.
And that mass, I've never seen, have you ever seen an NBA game?
Yeah, it's been a little while though. I always tell people, especially if they've never been to one, get close to the court if you can. It's insane how big those guys are.
So Zach Edey is 7'4" tall.
It's honestly That's hard to imagine.
Insane. And he's so athletic. I'm not into NBA that much. We'd love to take the kids. But I couldn't take my eyes off this guy. 7'4" and he was so
dynamic. To be
dynamic.
That athletic, it's amazing. I think my father-in-law, Big Rob, is Dutch, about 6'6".
Oh, shout out, Big Rob.
Typical tall Dutch frame in the Netherlands.
Yep.
And to think of someone almost a foot taller than him blows my mind. Oh, you know, I just look straight up at him. Mind blowing.
Unbelievable. And anyway, so SC, Caitlin Clark, a bit of the story of the month.
Yeah, gave it a good run. South Carolina for the women, pulled it off. So I got a question. This is back to the tall guy. Could you fit Edey in a set of clubs?
Yes. I gave a lesson. This is way back. This was 16 years ago, 15 years ago. Yeah. I taught Z, he was 7 feet tall. And I had to get on a step ladder. This was down at a place down in Soho. And Z played for the Cavaliers, I think. He lived in New York City.
Okay.
He was a Croatian or thereabouts. Pretty sure he's Croatian. Big Z, lovely human being.
Yeah.
And I had to get on a stepladder to actually grab his hands.
No way.
Because his arc was insane. His arc would have been 15, 16, 17 feet.
That's insane. Yeah, insane. We'd have to have some higher ceilings in here.
So shout out UConn. Congrats. Mm-hmm. Two in a row. But I really loved watching Big Edey. And it was just from a non-basketballer. They had this legend. I think he had, for the first half, he had like 16 of their 25 points. Actually, I couldn't take my eyes off it. It was brilliant. But UConn as a team played better basketball, I thought.
Yeah.
Even though this legend, he'll go probably number one in the draft, I presume.
Yeah, yeah.
Actually, does he go talent, next year? Does he come back to play? Or
I don't know. Sometimes what is he like? When they see those contracts.
Let's make some money.
Hard to say no.
Yeah. So that was cool.
Yeah. And then in the world of golf, we've got a four-peat on our
news
hands.
News from the fairways. We have Nelly Korda.
Yeah. Won a match play event. So that makes four in a row and counting. Who knows when she's going to stop.
Shout out. She's she's amazing. I actually watched her quite a bit yesterday.
Yeah.
And the thing that I took was her putting.
Yeah.
Holy moly, she can putt.
Yeah, it's amazing. And there were some tricky conditions, real breezy for some of that. Just a different format of event, so for her to come out and still win again.
Four in a row. Shout out, Nelly Korda. You're awesome. You're a great bro. And I saw an up and down. She got up and down on 10 in this match play event.
Yeah.
She hit this flop shot from ball below her feet, and I thought, damn, girl, she's phenomenal.
Yeah.
So hopefully she gets a bit of press.
Yeah. She's bringing some hype around it, which is awesome to see.
Yeah, 4-0. And then we've got a little bit of Liv. We had Dean Bemunster won the playoff against Sergio.
Mm-hmm.
I'm feeling, and we get asked this, you and I get asked this every day in here, especially now with Masters Week, you know, who's going to win? And I'm like, I don't really care as long as it's a good event.
Yeah.
I can't see the Liv guys winning.
No.
They looked as an ex-player, they looked untidy.
Okay. I didn't catch much of the lift, but, you know, I always just think you have to think Brooks Koepka is going to be involved at some point into the weekend. He just shows up for majors, it seems.
They're not playing enough golf. Yeah. It'll be testament to how good those Brooks, Rahm, they just, like, Rahm hit some shots that were uncharacteristically
really
out there shots. Yeah, he hit a couple way right. Hmm. He whips it inside a little bit. We're going to get onto that later today, but it's going to be really interesting.
Yeah.
It's going to be a true testament to how mentally strong they are, because I don't think they're playing nearly enough golf to be competitive
in the
majors.
And you can practice all you want, but you can't replace pressure of playing an
actual
tournament.
It'll be really interesting, actually. Yeah, it'll be really interesting, because Brooks, no one's heard from him for months.
Yeah, and then, I mean, John Rahm is then the defending champion, so, you know, it'll be interesting
to see.
It'll
be really, absolutely cool. It'll be really interesting. Yeah. And then we had... who else do we have here? And congrats to Lottie Woad from England, who won the Augusta National Women's Amateur.
Yeah.
Now, I was a little bit surprised that the Augusta National Women's Amateur was not played at Augusta National.
Yeah, you were explaining that to me. I was like, wait, they're not.
So it was three rounds, but the first two were not at Augusta. So it was a little bit like, we're going to throw our name, and they had the same scoreboards and flags at this other golf course, but they really didn't invite the ladies to play three rounds.
Until the last round.
They cut the field in half. So 35 ladies play on Saturday from front tees.
Yeah.
And I just thought that was a little bit.
A little strange.
A little strange. But anyway.
Yep.
At least they got the name out there. And they and she's a number one ranked women's amateur in the moment. And she's just an absolute gun.
Yep.
Very good pitcher of the golf ball and seemed to have a very level mentality.
Yeah. Very professional.
Yeah, very professional. So she had 8 under, shot 3 under to win.
Cool.
3 under around Augusta. It was front tees though, but it was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Greens, been there quite a few times. Greens on Saturday looked lightning fast already.
Okay.
And the weather says that they're not going to get much rain, and so I think
it's going to be.
Yeah, it was interesting watching our good mate Hideki interviewed yesterday.
Okay.
And they said, you know, what are your chances? And he said it with his translator, if it's hard and fast, I've got a chance.
Okay.
But if it plays easy, I've got no chance, which is interesting.
Yeah, it is an interesting thought. And he's just won a couple of years ago.
He just won. So it'd be interesting to see how he goes and what the weather looks like. But the greens on Saturday in that women's amateur looked crazy fast.
Oh, sweet.
And they've got another week to go.
Yeah. And I always, now when I watch it, since I've talked to you physically being on the grounds there, just how drastic the slopes are and all of that, you get it a bit on TV, but you can't tell the scope of how extreme it is.
It's crazy.
But it's always so much fun
to watch. What's your favorite Augusta moment?
I mean, I think everyone who grew up watching Tiger Woods play golf, when he won in 2019, just that whole comeback was really fun to watch. I remember sitting there and just, I haven't oftentimes been as into watching something on TV as I was that day. But I also think back to, I love when Bubba Watson won. He had some crazy recovery.
Hook shot on 10, on pitching wedge.
So, and he's just fun to watch because the ball's moving all over the place, which is fun. So I really like seeing that. Those are the big ones that stand out to me.
For me, it was probably Adam Scott, obviously, first Aussie to win the Masters. Greg Norman, who I grew up kind of watching, never got it done. But to see Scotty win in such a good way in that playoff, and the sun's kind of dawning down on 10 green, and he holds that putt in the rain and then arms up.
Yeah,
I was like, good on you. And he's a good dude. I played a bit with him over the years. I don't know him at all, but he's a good guy.
Yeah.
So that was awesome.
Yeah.
And it really kind of jumped his career again.
Yeah. So what year was that?
I think it was like 2013 off the top of my head.
Wow.
Yeah. Actually, wow, that's 11 years ago.
That's a long time ago.
So not that I enjoy doing this, but who's going to win?
It's such a good question. I mean, I think a lot of the big names are going to be there on the weekend. Scottie Scheffler. I still think some of the live guys like John Rahm and Brooks Koepka will be in the mix at some point. I don't know why. I have a sneaky suspicion Jordan Spieth will be mixed in at some point.
Interesting.
But who's going to win? I mean, it's hard to bet against Scottie Scheffler right now.
Interesting. I'm actually going to back. He's going to be a dark horse. I'm going your boy, Minwoo Lee.
Oh, that'd be amazing.
Yeah.
I think it's his first Masters.
Yeah.
That'd be lovely to see.
So let's move on to PGA Tour news from the fairways there.
Yep.
And we had a phenomenal, phenomenal weekend of
sick
golf.
Events. Yeah.
So here we've got Denny McCarthy, who birdied 8 of the last 9 holes.
Yeah, had a 6-hole deficit to come back going into 10th hole.
Unbelievable.
And made 8 birdies.
8 birdies.
7 to close out.
That's insane.
In the last 7 holes, which is, it was awesome. I mean, he chipped in. He putted everything
into the hole. Yeah, he touched the dots of it. So for anyone who doesn't know, Denny's probably one of the best putters on tour right now.
It just looked like he couldn't miss.
He couldn't miss.
It's awesome. I'd love to feel like that one day.
But I got to be honest, his technique is really, his whole pre-shot route, and sorry, he won over Akshay. Akshay Bhatia won the tour event, so he kind of just hung on. And I was watching his press conference yesterday. I always watch the Sunday on the Monday. And he said, here I was with a 6-shot lead, and then Denny shoots 8 under the back 9. Yeah. And all of a sudden, he said, holy crap, on TV last night. He goes, holy crap, we're now tied. And he had to hold that birdie putt to get in a playoff.
And he was super clutch as well. Yeah, I mean, not to discredit Akshay Bhatia at all. I'm a big fan of him.
Oh, I love him. He's awesome.
But just when you see someone go that crazy, shoot a 28 on the back 9, chasing the lead was awesome. It was a great tournament. And then the playoff was tragic ending for Denny McCarthy.
So this is interesting. So Denny get his practice pre-shot routine is very torso based. Mm-hmm. And so I jump into his coach and he's got to shallow that out because the last wedge he hit into the water was exactly what he practiced. So here's his pre-shot routine where he spins his torso and basically similar to a Jordan Spieth, but again, not speaking to those two, they're doing it in a very different manner. Mm-hmm. He's actually physically spinning his torso in an aggressive motion. So he's going to get steep. So his wedge play has to be diminished.
Yeah.
He's going to hit that chunk right, which is exactly what he did.
Right into the creek.
Right into the water.
Tough to see it end that way.
Yeah, which is a great chance. He seems like a good dude.
Yeah. I mean, if he keeps playing golf like that, he'll be there on Sundays. Yeah.
Has he won PGA Tour?
No, he's lost in a playoff before to Victor Hovland. I believe it was last year in tournament. So close again.
So close.
But then we were talking a lot about when Akshay Bhatia holed put on 18 in regulation to push the playoff. Did a little celebration, lifted his arm up.
Yeah, so and he's then, done the whole woo, woo, woo.
Yeah, which you can't blame him. Great putt, super clutch. And then the whole playoff hole, he's grabbing his arm and he's got discomfort going on in there.
Yeah.
And it was quite interesting. Before his approach shot into the green, he actually took a pause, had his trainer come out and
actually, he's a physio. I did KT Google that last
tape,
night.
On his shoulder.
He's a physical therapist, which is good.
Yeah.
One of your crew.
And I was just kind of fascinated watching the way he kept grabbing his arm. You know, he clearly did something. Now, in his press release afterwards, he talked about when he was celebrating his putt, his shoulder came out and went back in. I mean, I think those are kind of close to his words, so not technical terms, but it's hard for me to imagine him subluxing his shoulder where the joint actually displaces.
So this is kind of close to the bone for me. So I've dislocated both my shoulders a good 8, 9, 10 times, mm-hmm. and I subluxed mine about, 2 months ago?
Yeah.
I was running to open the shop early. I slipped on my top step. I didn't have my shoes on. And as my backside hit the 5th bottom step, my hand hit the top step and my right shoulder dislocated. Mm-hmm. So when a shoulder, and Rosie suggested this, which is a great idea, I've dislocated both where the ball comes out of the joint, but a sublux is what I did a couple of months ago on my right. What is that? Maybe we can start this discussion on what is a subluxation compared to a dislocation.
Sure.
And what did Akshay say that he kind of did there?
Yeah, so a subluxation versus a dislocation, if you think of like a ball and socket joint that you have of your shoulder, a full dislocation is you pop that ball out of the socket and it stays there.
Now, so shout out to Framo and Ash, we were in Greek. Last time I did that, we were playing basketball when I was 19, so shout out Framo. Thanks for helping me put it back in.
Not a fun experience to have that pop out and then be put back in.
Yes. I had a couple of beers though.
A subluxation, good. Numb it a little bit. Subluxation would be just on a smaller scale. So it maybe dislocates a portion of that ball and socket, and then it, you know, automatically kind of snaps back into place.
And then you've been treating me because I've been getting some pretty referred bicep tendon pain because of that.
Yeah, and just a lot of tension in your bicep there.
So I couldn't play. Like when I did that, Rosie bolted out of downstairs and said, are you okay? And my heart rate went through the roof. I started sweating profusely. I'd known I'd popped it out. And I was basically crossed on my chest for a good 2 weeks.
Yeah.
I didn't tell anyone in here because but it's unfortunately my body type. But 2 months later, I'm 100%.
Yeah.
But it's funny though, I couldn't have swung a golf club.
Yeah, I struggle to think, and that I don't have much to base this off of, just off what I was watching, that he really subluxed it. Now, where he was grabbing his shoulder was all on the posterior side, right where his rotator cuff comes and attaches into his arm, and then typically refers pain down the arm. And when he did it, he was also going into external rotation, which is a way you can
So maybe we can explain it, but, external and internal. So how would I explain?
External, if you keep your arms by your side, is an easier way to think about it. So easy way to think of this, if your arms are by your side, or I'll stand up here so you can see me, you can use your arms in front of you, or if I put, I have this arrow right in my arm. So if I rotate my arm inwards, that arrow is going to go with it. That's internal rotation towards my center line. If I rotate my arm outwards, it's going to go out to the side towards you. Or if I'm standing like this, you can think your arm is at 90 degrees. Hand goes towards your belly button, internal rotation, hand goes out to the side.
Which is different to what we do with the hips, which change when you do that with the hips last week. That arrow, which explained when you rotate your foot inwards, the hip goes outwards. That's where it's a little bit...
It's a little bit confusing. And just reason being is just the angle of the joint when you're sitting down is different than, you know, your shoulder joint.
So, interesting.
But something to keep in mind if you're trying to get an idea of where you're at.
So where do you think he sits today? And I again, just think... Akshay seems like just his whole, he's got some swagger. I love some, he's got some Ming Wu Lee swagger.
And lefty, and just breaks the mold of the typical, you know, some players you see. So I suspect he had a bit of like a rotator cuff spasm or just irritation is where his pain was coming from.
So he's probably hypermobile.
Yeah.
He's done his whoop whoop.
Yep.
And what do you think? He's just annoyed it.
Yeah, and he maybe did have a little subluxation, but then the muscles responded and they're thinking, oh, this is not good.
Yeah.
So in terms of him, okay, he won, which is awesome. Second win on tour. He qualified for the Masters.
First time ever,
You know, you'd hate to see him not feel 100% playing in his first Masters, especially with some momentum on his side.
So I wonder where he's at. I presume they would have MRI'd it, surely. Maybe not.
Hard to say. He said he's got a physio. I think the one who was with him there who's going to work on him this week. He said he's not worried about it at all. So I'm thinking it's more on the milder side, I hope. But in thinking of he's 22 years old, should have a really long, bright career ahead of him.
Yeah.
You know, I'd hope he gets on that.
Oh, we hope he gets that under control. Yeah. And that's what we kind of wanted to speak about today a little more broadly. We're going to hit a couple of balls and just explain what the scapula does relative to the shoulder and thoracic rotation and how it affects you and how you can do some of your own tests.
Yeah. And I think, you know, with that, the one thing that's not mentioned in there and the thing that's really overlooked is the rib cage sitting underneath your shoulder blade.
Yeah.
I find in most cases that often dictates your shoulder position. So for anyone listening, like if you notice both sides are a little different in terms of your internal external rotation, or if when you look in the mirror, whether you're sitting or standing, you see, oh, one shoulder's a little higher than the other. They're just kind of sitting in different positions. That's usually dictated by the position your rib cage is sitting in. Your shoulder blade's not fixed onto your body. It comes into your collarbone.
So as we talk about thoracic spine and scap, mate, our big match.
Yeah.
We tied, right? We played a local track that was in pretty terrible condition, but it is what it is.
Yeah, windy, cold
windy. We had like 40 degrees.
Yeah.
But it was awesome for you and I to talk shop and talk swing. And, and how'd you play? How'd I play?
You played pretty well. A lot of fairways hit.
Hit every fairway apart from one. Didn't capitalize and hit many greens. So I got to work on my irons in here this week.
Yeah, putted well. You did.
Putted well. Greens are crap, but mate, I thought you played very well the back nine.
Back nine was a lot different story than the front.
I won the front, SJ won the back, and we halved, we halved the match. So we played 10-10-10. You can use whatever units we like. So we play units, who wins the front nine, who wins the back nine, who wins overall.
Yeah.
And it was nada.
Ended up being no blood, so we've got to break the tie next time we go out.
So what do we work on? So we worked on this week.
Yeah, so for me, I came in... First couple holes, okay, but then I had a little bit of a rough patch, I'd say, front nine. And I know for me why I do this, but I started getting flat and whipping it inside and then just contact out the window, weak shots.
So again, we look at shoulder angles. So as Sean, who works on patients all day, he's going to be a little bit tight and rounded in your throat. So we would argue that your environment makes it going to be a little difficult to get that seat. Yeah. Is that a fair call?
Yeah, that's definitely a piece of it. Now, the other piece I know for me, knowing my body and a lot of the injuries and stuff I've had through sport, is if I face the camera here, my body at rest likes to sit with like we were talking about, left hip goes forward, left rib cage flares up, left shoulder blade hikes up. My right side is like compressed down. So you should be able to see this. I used to look at myself like on the subway going home from work, and I'm like, why is my left shoulder up by my ear? Like something's not right. Now, I didn't know at the time why it was. Now I've done a lot of work to correct that, but yeah. My tendency will always be this. So if you imagine me now, I turn towards target and swing. If I can't open this right side up, get this left rib cage to side bend, I'm going to be here.
Flattened inside all day long.
So I have to really be on top of it in terms of making sure I get that left side to crunch, my obliques work, and then I can turn steep.
So we love that nice steep shoulder angle. We just think that's fantastic. So the first couple of holes, you're really flat.
Yeah.
And then we just, and I always said to, so SJ, and anyone out there, never do technique on a golf course, hopefully ever. But if you have to, always do it when someone else is playing.
Yeah.
So if I'm having a shot, okay, do a couple of drills. Try never to do technique on a golf course. Mm-hmm. And all we got Sean O to do on the golf course, if you set up there, was I just jump behind him. And I'm like, hey, dude, remember, this is what we did in swing. We want that shoulder angle.
Yeah.
Not that shoulder angle.
Yeah.
Right? Remember, the steeper one's shoulders, the more the face stays around zero. And the more the face stays around zero, face less than path.
Yeah. And it's one of those things you kind of, when you know your body and your tendencies, then you can right the ship if you start getting a little wayward. So it was really nice having you out there and just saying, okay, hey, look, you're getting flat. Which I didn't feel so much, but I could see in my ball flight.
Oh, ball flight was low and hooking, low and hooking. So why don't we have a swing? So we'll get rid of that arrow there.
Cool.
So all we did was say, come on, bugger lugs, let's get you nice and steep.
Yep.
And so all we did off the ball, never on the ball, was just say, hey, we want something like this.
Mm-hmm.
And get in that right glute.
Yep.
And then from there, just rip it to 2 o'clock. All right, first swing of the day, inside six, face two, face less than path. Go play golf.
Yeah,
look at you go. Where was that on Sunday? You would have taken my cash. I could
use that on Friday, yeah.
So why don't we explain what Akshay did. As I said, I just subluxed mine about 2 months ago, and we're back to 100%, bench pressing. Why don't we explain to people what shoulders are and scapulas and all that crazy talk?
So just keeping it as simple as possible, we'll just give you kind of the components of what we're looking at. So we got Scotty's shoulder here. The first thing you'll see is just his shoulder blade sitting right here. And then, of course, you got your arm bone there. So this is your actual shoulder joint in here. That's where Akshay irritated things. And then underneath that, the big thing I'm always looking at is your rib cage. So you can't really see here, but you can imagine his rib cage sitting underneath that. So the shoulder blade's actually not fixed from like a bony standpoint onto your skeleton, except for it attaches into your collarbone.
We call that scapula, right? Scapula shoulder blade?
Yeah. Scapula is your shoulder blade, same thing, but it sits on top of your rib cage. So depending on the shape your rib cage is in and how you breathe and rotate, that's going to dictate where this shoulder blade sits in terms of the angle forward, back, rotated. And then of course, that's going to dictate your actual arm range of motion that you have. So if I have you turn around here, Scotty, if you turn towards me a little bit, Akshay was lifting his arm up and then going into this external rotation, like cranking his arm behind there. Now you can probably feel you get a little tension in the front there. And with you having done so much.
That's my warning, like,
your brain's like, error, we don't want to go further. So I think in a similar case to him, probably a little bit on the hypermobile side, when he swings, I mean, he's got unbelievable flexibility.
He's 130 pounds. He's this wide. Mm-hmm. We love him. He doesn't have a lot of meat on the bone, and he just crushes it, the golf ball.
So probably, kind of hypermobile. So when you get into these end ranges of motion, your brain starts thinking, uh-oh, we don't like this. So he could have had a little sublux, but then also the muscles respond and say, hey, we don't like that. We need to tense up and just
keep things stable. So what would they have done? They probably would have strapped his scapula and shoulder just as a reminder to his brain.
Yeah, so they probably had him pull his shoulder blade back, taped it there to encourage it to stay a little bit more down and back. And then
what happens with scapula stability or shoulder blade stability and thoracic rotation? This is a big one we see.
Yeah, so the big components of how you're going to actually rotate is going to be using the muscles that connect your shoulder blade onto your rib cage and then your rib cage onto your thoracic spine through here. So these are kind of going to be drivers of your motion. And as you actually rotate, your shoulder blade is going to move towards your spine and your backswing going this way. which hard to see from here a little bit, but his shoulder blade's going to go toward his spine. And then in the downswing, it's going to reach down and forward around your rib cage, away from your spine a bit. So it's really important you have good motion there and you don't have your shoulder blade sitting in a position either to start or throughout your swing that's going to push your actual shoulder joint into an uncomfortable
And this is where
place.
Sean and I parlay one another very well. So I would say conservatively jump in. 70% of our male members come in with their midline shoulder rounded and forward. And I look at that shoulder position, I'm like, oh, SJ, something's going on here. But you always go to rib cage and pelvis, which is fascinating to think the pelvis influences the scap. So maybe.
Yeah, big time. So the thing I always see, and in that scenario, we always talk about the hips getting a little out of sorts. The left one's always the one that starts off this whole thing. So if we take you here, your left hip pitches forward. So I'll have you just exaggerate. You may not be able to see this here. I can see it pop out. But your ribs there then have nothing with leverage to pull them down. So they flare up this way.
So this is most of our members.
Yeah.
Hey, so, man, I want to break 80.
Yeah. Like, and the first thing I would see is rib cage sticking out of somebody's shirt. I know shoulder blade can't sit in the right position if the rib cage is right there.
Yeah.
And then the first thing that happens, usually the rib cage floats up, shoulder blade floats up. It's in a position now where your external rotation starts getting restricted on the left side.
So it can be about a postural thing, that which is what you always, what you're working. We always find getting feedback from our customers is that oftentimes they go to practitioners, PTs, and they look at the joint itself, whereas I think what you do really well is you go, well, hang on a tick. It might present at the shoulder, but it might be something down here in, here in the hips.
I'm looking for root causes. So, for instance, if we had Akshay here or work on a shoulder, I would not start immediately digging around in his shoulder there.
Totally.
We can, of course, work on that to address the symptoms. But if we want to get him playing golf pain-free for the rest of his life, this hip rib cage stuff's got to change first.
Yeah.
Then the shoulder blade's in a position where he can externally rotate as long as he wants, and his joint's never going to have to over-rotate.
He can whoop it up when he holds the
putts. Yeah, which hopefully a lot more in his future.
And so this is where our New York Midtown community have some issues with their, how does that scapular stability or lack thereof affect thoracic rotation? Okay, Youngie, so what? How does it affect the golf swing? So what we like to see, and we've got some drills in here to make golf really simple, is that if you could explain why is that scap and T-spine so important? Where do we want to rotate in the backswing? If, excuse my backside here. So we don't want to rotate from here, right? We want to use our upper back.
Yeah, so if we're going to just talk about the centers of rotation in your body, there's two main ones. It's going to be hips down here, which we all know Scotty does very well rotating at.
Right, and then, so we have disassociation here.
Yep, and then the next section that's built to rotate is your thoracic spine. So think kind of bottom of shoulder blades to top of shoulder blades, generally, is where all your rotation should come from, or most of it thereof. So your lower back should not be a big rotator in your swing. We need hips down here, this for stability, and then your rotation again through the mid back right there.
And so what we talk about at swing is, okay, well, we like to see a steep shoulder angle going back to shallow the club coming through. And Matty Wolf, it was great to see Matt play well. Is he playing in the Masters this weekend?
I'm not sure.
Yeah, so I think he may be, I'm not sure. But someone like a Matt Wolf, Lee Trevino, Ray Floyd, a lot of people don't realize how brilliant their golf swings are, Jim Furyk being probably the most profound, and how simple their golf action is. What's the rule of golf? Whether you like Youngie's teaching or whomever, face less than path. And if we look at these shoulders, and I put the club into the ball, we use a lot of this swim noodle to help our golfers. Getting back to thoracic rotation and kind of what I teach extensively is just face to path. So we know the rule of golf, whether you, you know, whatever you want to work on with your teaching, if I grab the golf club and I rotate the club with a steep shoulder angle, my club's going to go outside this white thing, right? So we're looking at shoulders being steep. Yeah.
So thinking steep being more upright, the angle of your shoulders as opposed to flat.
Most of our golfers swing round. And if you excuse my backside, you'll see that I'm using my lower back, which is bad, compared to my upper back, which is good. So we want that thoracic spine to be used, right?
Yep.
And it just so happens that if you use the part of the body that's designed to rotate, thoracic spine, it just so happens the face stays square. It just so happens that the face is less than path, and you'll hit but a little draws. Why?
And this is the big thing that a lot of people miss. If I get a steep backswing, my hips shallow the ball out. So we go outside the wall, under the wall, right? First swing of the day, inside seven, face four, face less than path, go play golf. But it's really important, and I believe there's not many things I'm going to say must be all, everyone should have a steep shoulder angle.
Yeah.
Why is Dustin so good? His face is less than path. It's a little closed and his shoulders are steep.
Mm-hmm.
So thoracic spine and scapula, it's pretty important, right?
Super important. It's for a rotational-based sport, if you're not using your thoracic spine to rotate, for one, performance is not going to be good, but two, good chance you're stressing something that's not designed to take the stress.
Yeah, so Akshay, mate, we hope you're sound. I hope he's playing. I hope he seems like such an awesome guy.
Yeah, he didn't seem worried about it, which is great news.
Which is great.
But yeah, get on that thing.
Yeah. Beauty golfers, look, thanks for listening to Pivot the Path. And remember, your on-course enjoyment and improvement starts with the work you put into your entire game.
Yeah.
So you can absolutely own your swing.
For sure. And that nice steep backswing. So everybody enjoy watching the Masters. Thanks again for listening and following and share it with anybody who needs to get a little steeper on the backswing.
And shallow on the way through.
There we go.